You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up tonight at 7, it's Snap Judgment. Tonight, a look at what happens when you feel disaster looming, but still you decide to go for it. That's tonight at 7 on the Ideas Network. First, the tragic story of a UW-Madison student dying abroad has started a larger conversation about safety for other study abroad students. Bo Solomon was from Spring Green, Wisconsin, and died shortly after beginning his program of study in Rome. Officials in the city say they suspect foul play in his death. Our next guest is an advocate for more education for students who study abroad. She's the founder of the group Depart Smart, whose mission is to protect students abroad by providing safety information. And we want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. You can call in and share your study abroad experiences. Have you ever been in an unsafe situation on foreign soil? And what safety information do you gather before you travel internationally? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Cheryl Hill is with us now. She's the executive director and founder of Depart Smart. Cheryl, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having us.
Well, what was your reaction to the news that Bo Solomon from here in Wisconsin died in Rome over the weekend?
My first response was, oh, no, not another one, not again. He's not the first student to go on pub crawls in the Campo di Fiore, and it's across the Tiber from John Cabot, John Durkin, Andrew Magni. There have been a number of other students who lost their lives similarly.
And we know that thousands of students study abroad every year. So what is the message here? We hear these stories. Some of them hit close to home, like Bo Solomon. Some we may not have heard of, but there are lives lost. So what is the takeaway for studying abroad?
I think that, you know, I'm also the mother of a young man who died full of his future on a student abroad program. He was a sophomore in college going into his junior year, and he died on a people-to-people program in Japan in 2007. As a host mom of more than 8 kids for 12 years, I get how awesome it should be, and we all want to give these young people the world and see them come back full of their future and with cultural understandings and broadening their horizons in the most amazing ways. But I was stupefied to discover that not one department of the United States of America has any jurisdiction to stop the victimization of our children on school-sponsored academic athletic programs in foreign countries. Policy has not kept pace with globalization. There is no prerequisites, no duty of care, no mandated duty to inform when schools mandate study abroad to earn degrees.
First of all, I'm so sorry that you lost your son, Cheryl, and taking up some of the points you made about there being a lack of jurisdiction, how would that play out if a student goes abroad to study about the gaps that you see in safety there?
Well, let's take, for an example, what happens here at home. Here at home, we have laws like Title IX and the Victims Against Women's Act, VAWA, and even CLERI for campus safety reporting. If you wanted to know the campus safety and security report of the University of Wisconsin, I can find that online right now. If you want to know how many students were sexually assaulted, ill, hurt, or killed on a school-sponsored program by the University of Wisconsin, that information is sorely lacking. Additionally, when students choose to study abroad, there are many different ways to do that. They may choose to go abroad with the study abroad office at the University of Wisconsin, which has a really prominent, wonderful safety and security director who is highly credentialed. Or you may be at a college within the University of Wisconsin that mandates their own study abroad that doesn't use the study abroad office and all those great resources. Or a professor might decide to do a cultural immersion program in Peru and go on his own. I find this one to be the most risky because there aren't any mandated skill sets for that professor to have before he chaperones students into foreign countries. There's no rule, for an example, of what the student-to-faculty ratio is. And so over the course of many years and many fatalities, we've talked to hundreds of families and said what should and could be done to give these kids the world and help them to prepare to step into their future independently and make informed decisions. And here's an example. If I could share a story about students going to Rome to John Cabot, and I said, you know, I don't want to read about you in the Tiber River. What's your solution? How are you going to depart smart and not drink stupid? You know, you have to wise up over there. It's a different country, different laws. And the students did something really cool and awesome. They put together a Snapchat video for me of a hand with hand puppets. And they said, yo, Mama Hill, five of us are going to go out. Two of us are going to remain sober. And they did the Boy Scout promise. Three of us will drink, but we promise we will never leave our friends alone at the bar, on the sidewalk, in the bathroom, a taxi, or the dorm. We're going to guard their drinks, and we're going to guard their levels. And if we need to use a breath analyzing computer, we will, but we want to have a good time and stay safe. Peace out. And they called me back and said, nothing happened to us on our trip, but it happened all around us because we grouped together. And I realized that, you know, when you're abroad, you're meeting new people, you don't really know people, but it's very important to connect with expats and create a circle of trust so that you can group together and stay safe.
So is that part of the secret, that the students take it on themselves, create a kind of a safety network like you described, instead of relying on structural safety nets from maybe a university?
In my opinion, and in my son's case, it's very personal for me, you can have a program or a company or an employer who may be able to protect you for a trip, but they cannot protect you for a lifetime. So that school resource is there to ensure the safety and the efficacy and really the academic validity of that study abroad program. But when that student decides to go on spring break, those resources aren't there and they are not self-reliant. And we are creating right now, if you go to departsmart.org, you can download a travel safety checklist with more than 50 touch points we should all consider before going abroad. I have a 10-point quiz that fewer than 5% can pass. I can give it to your audience if you'd like. But we are right now trying to build an online certification course of an action plan that gives tactical strategies, tools, and resources to help us have safe journeys when we go abroad.
We're talking with Cheryl Hill right now of Depart Smart, talking about safety for students who are studying abroad and for Americans traveling abroad. And Cheryl, you mentioned a checklist on your website, some things that we should know. And short of the quiz, I don't want to take the time to do that right now, but can you tell us some of the top items that we need to know to stay safe, both for students and for travelers?
Absolutely. Most of us are not aware that our Foreign Affairs Office has a very prolific site called travel.state.gov that puts forth country-specific travel alerts and warnings and country-specific information on threats to your health and safety. For an example, if you are going to Costa Rica, there is a warning on there that United States employees are not allowed to spend the night in downtown San Jose because it is dangerous. So a student who would be enticed into Costa Rica, into San Jose, might read that and say, you know what? If United States employees aren't allowed to go there, I don't think I'm going to be going there either. And if we followed more of this protocol, I don't think students would be duped into programs that are not trustworthy, where they become, in some cases, labor trafficked on internships that are sweatshops. There are some sad stories out there that, you know, we want to talk about the joy of the journey and the exciting opportunities and really stacking those opportunities up for students that are good. So going to travel.state.gov, checklist number one, understanding how to register your trip in the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. That is step.state.gov. Your United States consulate cannot help you if they don't know where you are or how to get in touch with you, specifically to inform you about risks to your safety like civil unrest, disease, natural disaster, or terrorism.
So you can just log in and tell this website where you're going and someone will track you if you run into trouble?
Twice when I was overseas, I received alerts from the State Department alerting me that Osama bin Laden had been killed and not to celebrate, to maintain a low profile, and if I wanted to go home early, they would assist me. When I was in Australia, I received another alert. There are riots in London. We'd like to reroute you through Amsterdam. Absolutely, but they cannot help you if you don't register your trip. It takes 3 to 5 minutes. Your emergency contacts, when you register, have to have passports good beyond 6 months of your return date. I almost could not get to my son because my passport was only valid for 6 weeks beyond his return.
You had one more?
I was also going to say that parents, especially of 18-year-olds, need to have powers of attorney because FERPA and HIPAA laws may prevent schools from talking or assisting the parent in finding out information about the student if they're hurt. The biggest thing that we all need to do before we go abroad is make sure we're insured. Most students are cash-strapped and underinsured. These trips can cost the equivalent of a semester abroad. And even if you're just a traveler, you know, and you're spending a couple thousand dollars to have a great vacay, it can cost more than $50,000 to bring you home if you are hurt or injured. And if you do not have money to repatriate the remains of someone you love, they will be interred in the foreign country. Insurance is there for the probability of an eventuality. It's a small thing to do to make sure that you have peace of mind.
Cheryl, I'm assuming that that is not something that's included on the typical policy. So do you have to go to your agent and ask for something particular to travel?
And our travel safety checklist, we'd like for every traveler, not just students, to consider specific risks in that country. For an example, if you're going to a country that might have tsunami warnings, you might want to have natural disaster evacuation. You're not hurt, you're not killed, but something bad happened, there's no fresh water, cholera is everywhere, and I want out of here. So you need to really kind of do your homework and determine what travel insurance providers fulfill the need of where you're going for illness, injury, natural disaster, civil unrest, death, ransom insurance. You know, some countries do petty ransom. They'll take you and say, give me all your credit cards. And when those are spent, they'll call your family and they want some more money, but they'll release you pretty much unharmed if they get the money that they need. You know, there's also trip cancellation and lost or stolen property, bedside assistance. And knowing whether or not the travel insurance company has a translator, my son tried to dial 911 in Japan. The number is 119. Most of us do not know that the emergency number is different in the foreign country. And even if we do, we don't know whether or not we can access it from a cell phone, or how to ask for help and identify our location in the local language, or whether or not we would be arrested for reporting. So that's the kind of information that we can find on the State Department or on the OSAC.gov site. There, if you search OSAC, O-S-A-C, and the city where you're going, you can find detailed information on crime in certain areas.
We're talking to Cheryl Hill of Depart Smart now about safety for students who are studying abroad and for travelers. And we'd like to hear from you. Did you study abroad, and did you make the kind of preparations that our guest is talking about? Did you ever encounter a dangerous situation that you felt either prepared or unprepared for? How do parents measure risk? How did you do it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And you can share your stories and your advice on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation with Cheryl Hill of Depart Smart. And we want to hear from you about your experience studying abroad. Did you feel safe? Did you feel like your children who maybe went abroad to study, your kids, were prepared for any situations they might encounter, danger situations? Or do you think it is generally pretty safe and maybe we worry too much about this? Call us at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Cheryl, looking at the decision-making process, someone's got a college student who wants to study abroad, and you're the parent, what sorts of conversations should you have with them before they go over?
Well, I would hope that that parent would first go to DepartSmart.org and pre-register for the action plan so that they and their child will be ready to identify and mitigate risks and advocate for themselves. No one else offers a standardized training program to help you really depart smart. And I think that I gave you the travel safety checklist, which are things to consider, but also the reputation of the program. Because there are not any qualifications, and anyone can open up a business to take any student anywhere in the world, and there isn't like rape crisis certification or first responder training required or any prior incident report or background checks mandated for students going with anyone into a foreign country. There are those mandates for students coming here. And you could go to DepartSmart.org and press the advocate button and ask for our policymakers to protect American students going abroad equally as much as foreign students coming here. But some ways to check the reputation of the third-party program, which is another way that students go abroad, if let's say that, for example, IES or CIEE would be a program that your child was looking at and maybe they wanted to go to Santiago. You could Google online, you know, any type of, or ask an attorney to do a legal research of any lawsuits that were brought against those companies. You could ask your attorney general for any reports about them. You could look at Better Business Bureau complaints. And it's really those, and we all have negative reviews. We don't expect anybody to be perfect. And when bad things happen, we expect companies to step up with grace and grit and do the right thing as if that was their child. But I can tell you in many situations when students have died, very prominent universities have stopped talking, and they have left that family to their own resources to get to their child or bring their child home because they're protecting the institute and they're worried about lawsuits. State universities have immunity, and they're sovereign. They cannot be sued in a civil lawsuit for personal injury or wrongful death, and parents will do that in order to find out what happened to their child. So I think that really vetting out the program, and let's take people to people. People to People had pitched to us with the signature of Mary Jean Eisenhower that they send tens of thousands of students abroad every year. They hadn't had a death in more than 50 years. And yet, the teacher leaders who chaperoned our son into Japan were also on a trip a few years prior where Ian Phillips died, and we were not notified. So it is very, very important. You are trusting the future and the health of your child to someone else, and in my opinion, we need to make sure that those students can self-advocate and get themselves out of trouble in case something happens. There was a situation of one student who reported to us that she was sexually assaulted. She reported it to her school, to her university. The university brought her home, put her on academic probation, put her in anger management, kept her tuition of $18,000, and told her to work through it if she wanted to get her degree. So knowing if you have something that happens to you, like a sexual assault, what type of rape crisis response is available to you in that country, and most countries have something, even India, that is, there's a program right now that actually works on domestic abuse of American citizens abroad. It's important to know what your resources are so that you can get to them, be safe, and return.
Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. It's a passion. I'm obviously passionate about it. I'm looking forward to creating some standards to make sure we all have safe journeys.
That was Cheryl Hill, Executive Director and founder of Depart Smart, and she joined us to talk about safety for students or travelers abroad. And if you'd like to share your story, whether you felt well prepared, whether your student did going abroad, what did you do and how did you make it happen? Well, you can let us know over on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time.